And good evening, everyone listening live across America. Good afternoon in Australia. For those of you listening live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitch, my wonderful executive VA from the Philippines, Peo, is waiting and listening to answer your questions and make sure you have all the links to anything that we're talking about today. Just a reminder that if you miss anything from today's program, you need any links or you want to connect with our glorious guest today, jump onto RadioTony.com, either on bbsradio.com/RadioTony or RadioTony.com and look under our guest section and you will find all the information about the people that I interview. Now, today's guest is a beautiful Laurie Gannett from one of my favorite places in the world, Canada. Before I introduce you live to the show, I want to tell you a little bit about Laurie. Laurie's an award-winning author, coach, and speaker who helps support first responders and their families and individuals in the community in their fight against trauma, PTSD, depression, suicidal thoughts, combating fear, and discovering their true identity in Christ. Laurie struggled to believe she was worth anything. As a young lady, she doubted herself at every turn. She felt invisible and worthless. She even contemplated suicide. Today, with newfound knowledge, Laurie strives to value the human heart and all its uniqueness. She believes everyone has value and nobody is invisible. She's the founder of Kingdom Definers, which serves young adults who struggle with their identity and value. She and her husband, Merv, are blessed to have two encouraging children and live in West Chicken, Alberta, Canada. And I don't think I've pronounced that correctly. I'll ask Laurie about it in a minute. So Laurie says, in high school, she used to write poetry. Her mom encouraged her to enter a poetry contest and it was published. Several years later, she started writing her first book and began reading it to the kids as they went to bed. Her daughter was the inspiration to finish her first book. Her daughter kept telling Laurie that she had to finish it because she wanted to know what happened. While editing her first book, she had nine people close to her die in that year. 2018. The battle with grief, suicidal thoughts, and identity were ingrained from her first story as her family and Laurie grew and struggled, they triumphed on the other side. Her book, Treasure Kingdom, was published in September 2019 through Author Academy Elite, and in October 2020, Treasure Kingdom won the Best Fantasy of the Year book of merit. And also the Elite Author Awards in 2020. She's got another book on the way and just about published, and the story begins with her journey through abuse, unforgiveness, anger, and learning to stand where she had already been burnt. She wants people to be seen, valued, and chosen. Good morning and good afternoon, Laurie.
Hello.
It's wonderful to have you on the show today, and I want to talk firstly about why you started writing books versus continuing to write poetry.
My poetry was just something I did for fun, and with my poetry, it was like, poems come to me and I write them down. If I write them within 5 minutes, then they're usually good. But if it takes me a while, then they're not good. And I just never felt my poetry was good enough to really share with anyone. I've got lots of poems that basically only my family has read.
And so what... Having written lots of wonderful poems for the family, what was the tipping point that started you writing a book?
I just started writing the story for my kids. The main characters of my first book are based off of both of my kids' characters and personalities. Yeah. And so they totally see themselves as those characters. And I'd written it and it just sat on my computer. I had no idea what to do with it. And then my friend, Andrea Fair, who had published a year before me, I've been friends with her 20 plus years. And she was published through Author Academy Elite. And she was the one who introduced me to Cary Overbrunner. And just I started following him. And then I went through his Elixir Project Experience program, which is a 30-day program all on becoming laser-focused and setting your goals.
Yes.
And once I went through that, I knew that I wanted to try to see if they would even consider me. So I applied and within a day they set up an interview with me and proved to me that my story was worth people reading. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about the second book shortly, but part of what you write about and what you talk about is our value as human beings. Why do you think it's so important for humanity to fight for the value and understand their own unique value?
It's very important because if someone is walking around with feeling like they're garbage, like I did, or feeling that their words don't matter, or that they're not even worth being seen, then that's when the depression sets in. That's when the suicidal thoughts set in because they don't see any reason to keep on going. They don't see the importance that they have in other people's lives. They only see themselves as a burden.
Yeah. A lot of this stems from the conversations we have with ourselves. So in effect, they're conversations and their thoughts within our own minds that are not always reflected by the outside world. And people believe lies about themselves, don't they, Laurie?
Oh, definitely. There's a, like, even for myself or my husband, like, we've both struggled with suicidal thoughts. And I actually almost lost my husband in our seventh year of marriage to suicide because he had PTSD from some pretty nasty fire calls because he's a volunteer firefighter. And he had to deal with all this trauma. And at that time, he didn't know or understand how to deal with it. And so instead of dealing with it, he kept pushing it down until it just imploded inside of him. And just going through all of that and seeing the pain that we were both in, we needed God to help us. We needed the rug to literally fall out from under us so that we could find our own two feet to stand on, because there was just no hope in that frame of mind. So when you let those fears and lies take hold, it's hard to find your way back.
It is. And the longer you allow those negative thoughts and negative conversations to stay within you without doing something about them, they lead to depression, anxiety, PTSD, and they begin to control your life, don't they, Laurie?
Oh, definitely. And you just need to work through and learn the steps that you need to take to combat those lies and continually battle those lies with the truth that of who you really are.
Absolutely. Because once they become like an ever replaying script in your brain, it takes something extra to stop those thought patterns, because they then become habit, and then you have to break that habit to start to retrain your brain, essentially. And it's retraining your brain with everyone has value and worth. Every single human being on this planet has a purpose and a reason for being, and part of your struggle was about realizing that there's no one else that can replicate Laurie. Laurie is unique in the world, and no one can copy her or be her. And that makes you special. Therefore, every human being on the planet is special and worth fighting for. I know these things are really prominent in the first book, and I know that you wove them into the story. Can you tell our listeners about how you did that and why it was important for the book and for you to do that?
Oh, for sure. With Treasure Kingdom, I touched on many different aspects of grief as well as suicide. Mm-hmm. With the start of the story, it's two teenage siblings who are struggling with the tragic death of their oldest brother. So they're dealing with the suicidal thoughts of why they need to continue on without him, what their purpose is. And they just, with the grief bombarding them so bad, they have a hard time moving on from that. And the way I incorporated it in the story is when they got pulled into a fantasy world called Treasure Kingdom, they were forced to face things from their past. They were forced to face truth as they journeyed to find each other. And they began to understand the importance of who God was and how much God loved them and how they are chosen, they are adopted, and they are loved, and that their words do matter. And the biggest importance is to never give up and to keep moving forward.
Yeah. Laurie, I wanted to touch on that horrible year in 2018, if that's okay with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly difficult for me to conceptualize losing 9 people in one 12-month space. I'm not sure that many of us would be equipped to cope with that level of grief. What were the things that helped you the most in that time of grief? And I'm sure that it wasn't just lasting 12 months. It sounds like it was grief on compounding grief on compounding grief on compounding grief. How did you manage to deal with all of them?
Well, the biggest thing was to remind myself that I wasn't dealing with it alone. And at the beginning, when I lost, like, the two major people I lost first off were both dads, my dad, my father-in-law, within 3 months of each other. And at that time, I wouldn't allow myself to grieve because I had to be the strong one that held the family together, because my daughter and my son were really dealing with it. It was hitting them really hard. And with them being teenagers, they had a lot of other things that they were dealing with as well. And as time went on and we lost more and more people, I began to realize that the more I pushed it down, the more angry I became, and the more I couldn't control crying no matter where I was. And so I had to go through the steps and the process of reminding myself of the good times and remembering the wonderful memories I had with each person, and reminding myself that those memories are still alive in me, and that is who they were, and that was the impact that they gave me. And as I look back, I look at those impacts and those memories, and I remind myself that what I'm doing now, if I stop or if I give up, then I'm almost letting them down, because of what they have taught me and what I've learned from them, and the strength and encouragement that I gained from them. Now it's my turn to give that strength and encouragement to someone else.
Absolutely. Grief, we often talk about grief in terms of a process, but not only is it a process, it's kind of an up and down process. So you might get to this point, but then you'll dip back down to this point, and then you'll come back up to this point. The thing about grief is, though, that if you don't allow yourself to process that grief and walk through it and be kind to yourself and allow yourself to walk through it, the process of holding it back or holding it in check leads to that anger and depression. And that was your experience, wasn't it, Laurie?
Yes, it was.
The you discovered that you had to actually take a bit of time and walk through it so that you could process it. And it's very much that way for lots of humans who grieve. And it, and the grief is not just associated with a loved one passing. You can suffer grief from the loss of a marriage, the loss of a child, a traumatic situation. It all stems back to a grief process. Have you found that that is common among people that grieve, Laurie?
Oh, definitely. And so many times people who haven't been through a grief process, they have a hard time understanding what the person is going through, because a lot of times they'll be like, oh, just get over it. Well, it's not something that you can get over. And everybody grieves in a different time frame in a different way. You just have to make sure that you remind them that you're there for them if they ever need to talk, if they never ever need a shoulder to cry on, because those grief waves will hit you at any moment and at any time. So you just have to pray through them and work through them and just try to remember the good times through those processes and those grief waves so that you don't fall into that and can't get out, but you have to, you have to let it heal you as you have a grief wave hit you, you need to heal yourself and you can't just put a bandaid on it. You just need, you need your body and your mind needs to heal through that grief and to continue just like facing a storm. You have to push through that storm to find the sunshine on the other side.
Absolutely. I had a recent interview with another colleague of mine, and she talked about how we used to treat grief and loss of a husband or a wife back in the 19th century. So back then you were allowed to wear black or wear a black armband, and for widows it was considered common practice that they would grieve for 4 years. And as we've gotten further into the 2000s, etc., that time frame has dropped to most corporate organizations only allow 3 days. And so it's understandable that many people in across the world are not grieving to the extent that is helpful and healing for them. And I think it's very important that we remind people that this used to be a multiple year time to process the passing of a loved one. And nowadays, we're just bang, straight back on. And so in that scenario, we've got to be extra careful with ourselves and allow ourselves a bit more downtime and a bit more scope, because otherwise we fall into that trap of, why am I still sad? There must be something wrong with me. And we start those patterns of lying to ourselves, when in fact it is normal to take many, many years to process and cope with grief. That is a more normal process of grief. So I wanted to, so all of these concepts you've included in Treasure Kingdom, and you also like to, back to that that discovery of your true value and true potential. And so the teenagers within Kingdom, Treasure Kingdom, they learn that as well, don't they?
Yes, because each one of them go on a journey of their own as they try to find each other in this new fantasy world. And they have to address different aspects because they think differently. Like one is the strong one who always thinks that he needs to hold everything together and he needs to not grieve because he needs to be there for everybody else. Whereas the other one is struggling with suicide and identity and their value and whether or not they're even wanted. And so the one, she goes on a journey and she is forced to face the death of her oldest brother, the scene of what happened, and to make sense of it all. And she also, through that process, she has to discover that she's not grieving alone and that there is, God is there holding her, and that she is loved and chosen, and that she is a child of God, and that she is accepted where she's at, and that he loves her so much that he loves her just the way she is, but he loves her too much to keep her there. And it's the growth process through that journey. Whereas Josiah's, he goes through the concept of what it means to know God and what it is, what that journey looks like to surrender to God and to trust in his leading and to not go it alone as well. And just, they both learn the concept of never giving up and understanding the freedom of never giving up so that they can continue to move forward. And as they move forward, each step makes them stronger and each step gets them closer to their goal.
Yeah. Laurie, do you think that as humans, most of us have a linkage to a power that's higher than ourselves, like not necessarily a God, but just a recognition that there is something higher than our human experience that is there to help us and strengthen us and guide us?
Well, I do believe that everybody needs to understand that they don't have the strength on their own. They need that extra help to grow and to learn and to embrace who they really are. And to, once they understand that and accept that help, then they have the strength then from within that they can pull from, and they understand that they are stronger than they knew possible.
Absolutely. For you, this journey in writing has also developed into something that's a lot bigger. And I wanted to talk today. You have you do one-on-one coaching, you do group coaching, and you have some amazing courses available. And just for our listeners, Theo will be able to pop the link into the live chat. And for others of you, just jump onto RadioTony.com. You'll find the links to Laurie Gurnett, author LaurieGurnett.com, where you'll find all the information about these courses. But specifically today, I wanted you to run us through how and why you developed your 40-day online course and what it helps people with.
Oh, for sure. So the 40-day Fight Identity course is all, it guides you through a 40-day journey of discovering how to focus, how to identify the lies that are attacking you, how to grow in your understanding and how to combat those lies, how to honor who you are within yourself and how to move past that and how to triumph over your fears and to step into your courage. And then you can rise to your potential.
And you were driven to develop this course because of all the things that you'd been through. So a lot of your wisdom and learning has gone into this course for people who are struggling and really don't understand what they're going through or what their purpose and identity is about. So you've poured all of that into the 40-day course, Laurie?
Yes. So basically, as they go through, I want people to understand that they are more than they could ever think possible. And they are worth value. They have a purpose in life. And as I guide them through this course, I want them to discover what that purpose is and to make the steps and the goals to move towards that goal and to understand that they can impact other people through their own struggles. And in my journey, like I had to go through the process of understanding that I've been through a lot in my life. I've dealt with suicide. I've dealt with grief. I've dealt with depression, anxiety, and I really struggled with self-worth. And through the process of dealing with those things, once you shift your perspective and understand that you do have value, your words do matter, that is when the true growth begins. And through this course, they can learn how to discover those processes and how to grow in their identity and their purpose.
There's a lot of people that feel disconnected in the world today, and part of the course is about connecting with people who've done the hard work. So by doing the course, you're connecting with Laurie, and she's already been through a lot of this stuff. So you're connecting with someone who understands what you're going through, and connectedness and story is part of humanity, and how we learn to grow is through the stories and learning of others. And that's the part of the power of the course, is because Laurie's walked this road already. Laurie, I wanted to get on to the next book, but before I do, I really wanted the audience to know about your work in the community, because it's really beautiful. So can you quickly tell us about some of the things you do within the community, particularly around helping first responders and the trauma that they go through in being first responders?
Oh, for sure. So, as I said, my husband is a paid volunteer firefighter here in town. And so he's in the process of training to be a chaplain for the fire department. He's had a lot of health issues over the last couple of years. And I've been able to connect a lot with the firefighters, and quite a few of them have bought my first book, and just had opportunities to talk with them about some of their struggles and some of their trials that they've been through. A lot of it they can't talk about due to confidentiality issues and things, but just working with my husband and what he's been through, and just reminding him that I'm there for him whenever he needs it, and that he's not having to bottle everything up, but that he can be honest with me when he's struggling with a panic attack, because he has PTSD and he battles, well, it's getting better now, but before he'd fight 20 to 30 panic attacks a day. And just being there to hold him and to let him know that it's okay. That yes, you're dealing with this panic attack, but I'm going to be here for him and just help him through that. And to be able to talk with some of the other firefighter wives who see their husbands struggling, and just to be there for them and just let them know they're not struggling with that alone. And if they need help or if they need time to just talk things through, then we can sit down for coffee and just talk about things and just remind them that there is a community out there that is going through the same thing, and they're not having to go through it alone.
Yeah. And the important thing to remember here is that talking about these particular things, whilst it's hard, that's the best way to get through it, is to actually talk about it. I'm a big believer in shining the light on trauma and secrets, and I'm an absolute advocate of talking about the tough things. And part of the reason why I'm grateful to have Laurie on the show today is her willingness to talk about some of these tough concepts that people don't want to talk about. but that we know are helped by talking about them. Once you've verbalized something and put it out into the atmosphere, it ceases sure. to have power over you. The very fact that you're talking to someone about it means that it has less power over you. It has less control over your life. And the other thing I want to point out too is that for first responders, be they firefighters, police, nurses, doctors, there's a mental impact of what they do each and every day. And I'm not sure that we think about that often enough. And give them or allow them time to recover from what they see and deal with as a course of looking after other human beings. So, Laurie, I'm really grateful that your town has you and you do that work and provide that support for everyone there. You do have a number of other courses and you do a number of other components of coaching. Can you quickly tell the audience about that? And then I want to talk about your next book.
Oh, for sure. I am actually in the process of creating a second course, which will just be a 30-day course. And the acronym for that is FLAME. And it's all the concept of understanding your inner fears and how to move through those fears and find your courage as you face those fears. And it's based actually on the concept of my second book. And you can also look at, with the 40-day course, you can break it down into different aspects you can deal with just one particular section because it's split up into 5 sections. So they can choose to go through one specific topic of the course, or they can purchase the whole course in a whole. And I do offer an assessment, an identity assessment that they can go yes. through just to kind of see, get an idea of kind of how they deal with certain situations and to understand how they're viewing it and the focus that they mm-hmm. are in and their mindset. And I do offer the 5-day challenge, which is the first day of every section of the first course. Yes. And so it's a 5-day challenge so they can kind of get an idea of what the course entails and they can kind of look into that as well.
Okay. So it's like a mini version of the bigger course so people can just like test it out and see what it's about before they go and do the bigger course.
Yes.
Tell me about your coaching as well, Laurie. You've got this wealth of knowledge, wisdom and understanding, and I'm guessing that you use that basis for your coaching programs?
Yes. So I offer 2 different types of, well, 3 different types of coaching. So the one coaching would be I would meet with them once a week and we would kind of go through the course together and answer any questions that they might have as they're working through the identity course. The other one is one-on-one coaching. And so what that is we meet once a week and we just kind of go through a number of questions and kind of discover kind of where they're at mentally and where they're at in their strengths and in their weaknesses and kind of how to work through the issues that might be holding them back or any trauma mm-hmm. that they might have faced. Then I kind of help them work through that through questions and through understanding who they are and where they've come from and the strength that can come out of that. And my other offer of coaching is I can do it in a group setting. So I would coach like 4 or 5 people in a group in like a Zoom meeting. And we would just kind of bounce questions back and forth on a certain topic each week. And we just kind of work through it that way.
Yeah. Laurie, on that note of doing group sessions, I know that you do some workshops as well and that you're actually available to do workshops and speak to community groups as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so through the workshops, the workshop that I kind of have put together already is the one that would work people through the FIGHT program of discovering their identity and bringing out their value. And through speaking, what I would address is either either topic from whichever book that it's on is, so if we go through an identity kind of idea, it would depend on the audience that I'm speaking to.
Yeah.
If I'm speaking to business people, then I address the facts of like what I deal with personally is the fact that sometimes I struggle with knowing if what I have to say actually matters and whether or not my message is worth telling people. And so it's a hard space to be in. Like you feel called to this area, but how do you get to that point where you believe what you're saying to a point where other people will believe it too? And just to be able to move forward in that and to not just rely on other people believing in you, but actually believing in yourself and to step into that. And so to address those concepts, and as an entrepreneur working on your own, it's very difficult when you don't have that support and that encouragement. So speaking to business people and entrepreneurs, like we need each other and we need to be able to to lift each other up and to have that community base, because then you're reminded that you're not working alone and that you can build on your message through that concept of community.
Absolutely. I know a lot of what Laurie has suffered, I've struggled with myself, particularly around self-worth and self-esteem and not feeling good enough and not feeling worthy. And I would absolutely agree with Laurie that working as an entrepreneur who works pretty much by themselves, it is difficult sometimes to discuss what that feels like. And I learned probably in the last 6 months, I've learned to find people to surround yourself with that actually believe in you, believe in what you do and will support you. And it's part of the ethos behind Radio Tony as well. And anyone that I interview, I want to be able to make sure that they are getting their message to the audience that needs them. Because from my perspective, I can't be Laurie. Laurie can't be me. But there's people that need to hear Laurie's message, and they can only hear that from her. There are people that need to hear Tony's message, and they can only hear that from Tony, because that's the way humanity works. Not everyone resonates or agrees with or vibes with everyone else. And it's about making sure that, for me, it's about making sure that Laurie gets connected with the people that will be best suited to her, and that she will be able to impact the most with what she does via her courses and her messages and her workshops and her coaching. So, and also her writing, which brings me right back to the next book, Unbroken Kingdom. And I wanted to just quickly read a little bit about Unbroken Kingdom before I let get Laurie back in. And it starts with, don't allow fear to hold you in bondage. Find your courage as you face your fears. Will fear and unforgiveness plunge Robert into self-destruction, or motivate him to forgive, stand firm, and triumph over adversity? After Josiah and Sonora saved Robert from suicide, he still struggled with unforgiveness towards his parents. How could his mom allow that man back into their lives again? With hatred on the rise, change on the horizon, Robert is faced with many conflicting concerns. Sonora is facing a new chapter in her life after graduating from high school and looking ahead to an unknown future. She is forced to face old friends and new adventures. Will the truth be Robert and Sonora's driving force, or will deceptions divide their focus and separate them? Torn between two worlds, Robert struggles to make sense of everything. Enamored by the mysterious Sam and the and conflicted by the young Katarina, he is unsure what the truth is. Being fed the lies of Lucas, will Robert find peace, or allow anger to dominate his decision. Fantastic introduction to Unbroken Kingdom, Laurie. Tell us some more.
So with Unbroken Kingdom, I actually launched it last weekend, so it is now available on Amazon. And
fantastic.
Yes. So the main concept of that is to learn to stand where it has already been burnt. And the concept of that actually came from my assistant pastor, Andrew Chambers. And he had a while back in one of his sermons, he had told a story. And basically the concept of the story is that there's a farmer and his daughter walking through a field, and they come across a grass fire. And so when they realize they can't escape the grass fire, what he does is he burns a large patch of grass, and he gets him and his daughter to stand in the middle of that patch of fire. And as the flames reach them, they go right around them, because when you stand where it's already been burnt, the flames won't harm you. And that developed into the main concept of my second book. And so the concept of it is to find your courage as you face your fears. When you stand where it has already been burnt, when you face those traumas from your past, those traumas and those lies that have bombarded you from the past will not harm you anymore, because you've already stood there and you've already been through it. So you're stronger now. And so the concept of that throughout the story is to stand firm, stand where it's already been burnt, so those lies and fears will not harm you, and you can be stronger and better for it. And to keep moving forward in the fact that as you deal with this trauma, as you deal with the abuse and the fears and the lies that are bombarding you, even on a daily basis, you can continue to move forward, and you can find that strength as you move forward, because when you stand firm and you face your fears, fear no longer has control over you, and you're taking back that control. When you take back that control, then your courage shines through.
Yeah. I love that concept of standing on burnt ground, because in effect, it's like standing on a place where, sure, the ground is burnt, there's trauma, there might be destruction, but you've been there, you've stood there, and it's now actually a safe space to stand again. So it's actually that whole concept of turning your fears into something that's better. So by standing on that ground that's already been burnt, it offers a protection. So the flames of life go around you rather than impacting you. It's a wonderful analogy for describing getting through trauma, working through trauma, dealing with your fears and handling the challenges of life, to think about it in those terms. I'm guessing that being the basis of the concepts in the next book, the characters will all go on individual and separate journeys in Unbroken Kingdom, Laurie?
Well, some of them do. Sonora kind of takes on a role of strength, and because she's already learned so much from the first story in Treasure Kingdom, she is so much stronger in her faith, and she kind of becomes a guiding force in the battles that happen throughout the story. The story mainly follows Robert, who comes from an abusive home and has anger issues and unforgiveness issues. And he flies off the handle a few times, and it gets him into trouble. And there's a lot of trauma that they deal with throughout the book. And it also follows another minor character from the first book. It follows Katarina and Crystal, who are twins. Yeah. And they're like 12. Which actually their personalities are based off of my nieces. And so, all my characters are based off of someone I know. But so basically Katarina has to deal with grief. Like she deals with loss in this story, but she also deals with deception and how she learns to understand the deception and how the lies that are bombarding her, how she can overcome that, and how she can understand her inner strength as well. So it follows a number of different characters, as well as a little bit about Sam as well. We'll learn more about Sam probably in the third book, but she is a strong, because she has the ability to be human or dragon. She kind of transforms throughout, and we find that out in the first book actually. And so she's a good spiritual guide as well, but she learns more about her past too in the second book and has to learn how to grow through those as well. So it does follow a number of the different characters throughout the story.
Laura, do you think that in writing about childhood trauma in a fictional book, do you think that that's helpful for people who've been through childhood trauma to read a book of fiction to help them understand the different elements of coping with trauma? Because trauma, childhood trauma impacts people for a lifetime. And even though you heal and deal and mostly for most of us, we get it sorted throughout the journey of life, some people never deal with their childhood trauma, and it continues to impact on their life. So in discussing Robert's struggle, did you show him make sense of the life that he'd had as a child?
Yes. Throughout the story, he's forced to face certain things, and he actually finds out that the abuse that he grew up with has been a continuation from previous. So he finds out that his dad was abused as well. And so that begins a process of understanding kind of where his dad has come from. And he learns to forgive his dad through the process. And he understands that, his dad is dealing with the same trauma that he's dealing with. And so now that he understands that, then he can eventually move forward and possibly even help his dad in growing and learning and understanding what that abuse is and what has come out of that. And he can start becoming a different person in the way that he deals with relationships, in the way he deals with the communities that he's in. And he can break that pattern. And I've seen that in my husband's life, because his dad came from an abusive home, and he broke the chains, and he made that shift. And to know that, and to see that change and to see that growth, encourages me to be able to tell other people that there is hope. And
absolutely,
if you're in an abusive relationship, it's not your job to help them. It's not your job to change them. But there is hope for them to change if they want to. But they have to get to that point of wanting to change and allow the forgiveness to heal them and to be able to talk about it and work through it, and not just to push it aside. Because pushing it aside, it's still going to be there, and it's still going to come out somewhere. It's going to explode somewhere if you keep pushing it down. So,
In talking about trauma and forgiveness, forgiveness is not about the other person. Forgiveness is for you and your healing and yourself. It's not allowing the other person. It doesn't negate what happened, is I guess what I'm trying to say. The forgiveness is so that you can heal and that you can move on, because it does leave such a legacy of trauma. And for those of you that have not had much to do with childhood trauma, it is often a generational thing, isn't it, Laurie? It passes down generation after generation after generation. And if you want to be the one to break that trauma cycle or that abuse cycle, you have to heal and you have to forgive. Mm-hmm. And they're hard concepts when you're so angry and so hurt and so tied up in what the horrible things that happened to you if you've been in that situation. Laurie, do you think that in writing the next book after this one, that you will see the characters healed, healthy, and whole?
Yes, actually.
I haven't written it yet, but
yeah, no, I've got some ideas for the third book already. I just haven't started writing it yet. Yeah. But my concepts, because each book has a specific theme. So the way I look at it is the first book deals with identity. The second book deals with courage, whereas the third book is going to deal with growth. So it's the growth of forgiveness. It's the growth of community and unity and working together and in your healing and in being able to combat what is battling you. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Laurie, we're just about out of time. I quickly want to just mention to our listeners today that Laurie's both books are available on Amazon. They're also available on, or the links are available on both my website, radiotony.com, and Laurie's website, which is authorlauriegurnett.com. And you'll find all about her amazing work, her courses, her workshops, and her mentoring slash coaching. And for anyone who is faced with trauma or starting to deal with trauma, or who has just indeed found out the secret behind perhaps a suicide attempt, perhaps an anger problem, something sits behind those elements of your personality, and once you discover what that is, then you need to talk to someone and work with someone. And I encourage you, if you come from any of those perspectives, that get in touch with Laurie, because she has walked what she's teaching and talking about. So she has very real wisdom and experience in dealing with these, particularly around grief, trauma, PTSD, depression, and anxiety. I absolutely believe that if you've been and walked through those situations, there's a wisdom, understanding, and growth that comes from those situations. And if you're struggling, those are the people that you need to connect with that will get you the help that you need. Don't think that you can do it alone. Don't think that it's going to solve itself over time. It won't. You need to actually have the courage to do the work. Laurie, I want you just to finish in the last minute or so and tell us about what it takes to have the courage to heal.
So what it takes to have the courage to heal is the fact that you're not allowing that fear to control you. So if you know that you can step up, that you can keep going, the importance of getting back up when you fall and when you're struggling, and to admit that you are struggling, but to keep moving forward and to strive for that each step of the way. You need to celebrate each step that you take, no matter how small it is, because when you look back, if you celebrate each step, you look back and you see how far you've actually come and how much stronger that you are. So you need to continue to focus on that and to trust and to continue to move forward.
Laurie Gurnett, thank you so much for being on Radio Tony Everyday Business. Thank you for your vulnerability and your courage in being on live streaming radio. That, my wonderful listeners, is our show for this week. Don't forget to jump on and connect with Laurie. Grab her books from Amazon, and we look forward to another show next week. Thank you so much, Laurie.